And we're back at Brews and Reviews in Minnesota today, talking about a movie that I just showed Cole for the first time, Highlander.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in at, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night.
That's being generous, like 11:30. Okay. Well, so this is one of, actually, like, as a child growing up, by child I mean 12 years old, this is one of my favorite, like, sword fighting movies. I remember. I haven't seen this in probably about 4 years, but it was on Amazon Prime, and I was thinking about it. I'm like, hey, I'm coming to Minnesota. Cole loves the 80s. Let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, this has...
And I actually have, before we even continue, I have no idea what his thoughts were. We literally got done watching this movie about like 2 minutes ago, and he has not said one word about it. So I'm really excited to see what he thinks about it.
It was... such an 80s movie. Like, you had your villain dressed up in gothic clothes. You had your cool music, the delayed sound effects. You had the girl that falls in love with the guy for absolutely no reason.
No, I need to hear, like, what did you enjoy? Was it not an entertaining movie?
It was an entertaining movie.
Oh, come on, dude. Like, okay, but the sword fights were good. We got Sean Connery. Yeah. As Ramirez, who for some reason is not Spanish. He's Egyptian. A lot of this movie makes absolutely no sense, but if you really want to watch a good, entertaining 80s movie, I highly suggest this film. Like, it still holds up for me, but obviously I'm nostalgic about it. That's why I really refer to you on this, because you just saw it.
Yeah, I have absolutely no nostalgia factor. The only thing I've ever heard is there can only be one, which I think they literally said in this movie about 1,000 times. Highlander.
There could only be one. There can only be one Highlander.
Okay.
There was a comma there, man.
Yeah, well, there can only be one is the point.
Well, it was also very interesting.
Stab! There can only be one of us, Jake.
You stab in the chest, not the head. But one of my favorite parts is that this movie is clearly predictable.
Yes.
Because you literally, there was one point where you're like, oh, I forget what the quote you actually said word for word, like right before it happened.
You never die, Highlander, but you also, I'm like, never truly live. And she says it like word for word. I'm like,
and I'm like, I'm watching this. I'm like, I think this guy's looking up at Spark Notes here. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But for me, the movie really does hold up, but I can understand if you don't have that nostalgic factor. But I think it was great. There was some great 80s cheese, great swordplay. There's actually a lot of good cinematography in this movie for 1985.
Oh, fantastic. The end scene with the windows, that was actually really cool.
But even when they're fighting, like, down... Hey, spoiler alert, Highlander wins.
Surprise. Surprise! Evil doesn't conquer all. What do you know?
This guy, though, the villain, is, when he steals the car... I mean, there's just so many moments that, like, even though they're not supposed to be funny, it's like, it's hilarious. This is definitely a guilty pleasure movie for me. But I mean, I don't ever watch the sequels. That's all I'm going to tell you guys. But if you like The Terminator, if you like good 80s cinema, I think this holds up still. But that's my opinion.
I think the 80s cinema was there. The story.
Oh, it was?
The story was not at all.
The 80s. Like, I love you saying it was there. Dude, it was splattered all over the walls of this movie.
It is 80s cinema, but I'm saying, like, one of the cool things about The Terminator, especially the first movie, was the story. With this movie, they're like, why can there only be one? Well, why does the sun come up? Why are there stars? What are the stars?
But is it kind of like X-Men a little bit, where it's like, okay, you don't have to explain to me why you're immortal, but there are immortals here, and they have this thing. Like, I'm glad they actually... I think they tried to... Which I think they did in the sequels, which I've heard are terrible. When you try to explain it too much, it's like, no, like, here's the story, here's the plot, let's just go with it.
I mean, yes and no, up to a point. Like, I get it.
So what was the point where we lost you?
I get it. You don't need to, like, give me... huge explanations for every single thing, but they're like, he's like, why me? Why does the sun come up? Like,
but he doesn't know either. That's kind of the point of that dialogue.
But there. Like, say, like, something
And it's also James Bond, okay?
So you... Not to compare this to Star Wars.
And here we go.
But something that, similar type of concept, you know, about the 80s movies, even though Star Wars was the 70s. But you have the guy with the cool sword that these like swords with lightning or lightsabers. You have someone that has to train you in. And then you have like this cool, like you're being selected to be immortal or to use the Force. But like there was still like a general theme of like reasoning behind the Force. Like you didn't really know what it was. You didn't
until
exactly
the
understand
then
it.
Then
oh, yeah, the prequels.
Then we completely lost the reason behind everything.
But it was like, okay, like you wanted to be a Jedi. It was cool. Or I'm like, this was like, you don't even know if you would even want to be this guy just because, like, you don't understand it at all. It made no rhyme or reason. It's too random.
But see, I think I like that a lot because it was, like, almost like people were born with it and that's it. Like, there's no explanation needed. Can you imagine in the 80s they tried to, like, once upon a time there was, like, all that stuff? Like, they could have gone to some crazy convoluted. There you go.
Convoluted.
Convoluted.
That's the word.
No, I was trying to say it. It was coming out wrong. Convoluted bullcrap that we're going to deal with. And I'm like, you know what? This is the point. Like, we know what we are. This is the movie we're doing. Let's have fun with it. And the, by the way, the villain, top 10 villain of all time. This guy.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is amazing.
The car scene where he kidnaps the main girl.
It's worth it for that scene alone
just
to watch this
her movie. Whatever she does, whenever she screams when he's just about to hit a car, he just like puts his hand.
No, there was two car scenes. So there was one. So he, the villain of this movie like literally kills an immortal because you can only be killed by decapitation. So he kills someone and he gets the quickening and gets all like the life force or whatever the hell is going on. You see, even I don't even know. I've seen it 10 times, but still awesome.
Yeah,
but
then
he steals a car from an old couple. And this old lady's like, ah! And then you see her on the hood of the car. So clearly, Kiernick just threw her over there and just kept driving. And then he does it again where he's like, you ever play chicken? And he's like, oh, and like he's putting his hands off the wheel because he doesn't give a shit. And honestly, it's still, I'm still laughing my ass off the entire time.
Well, that's why it was hard to tell. Like, was this movie trying to be funny at the funny parts, or was it just 80s cheese? Like, you kind of lose it now.
I think
like,
it was meant to be serious in the 80s, but I'm a 90s kid, so yeah. I think it makes it timeless because of those moments. It was probably super serious because this. I mean, this movie started... Remember when you saw the wrestling and everything else? You had absolutely no idea what was going on in this film. And I remember when my brother Aaron showed it to me for the first time, and we're sitting there, and I'm like, oh, we're watching a wrestling movie. Because that's kind of how they framed it right off the back. Oh, we're watching a wrestling movie. And then it's like, there's like a... There wasn't even drones back in the 1980s, but then the camera like pans over to this random guy, and he goes down into a parking garage, and then suddenly there's swords.
And you have no context, just out of the blue.
Yep.
You're watching pro wrestling, now there's sword fighting in the parking lot.
And then, okay. And glass is exploding, and you have absolutely no idea what's going on. But I think that makes, like, for me, like, that intro, I mean, did it not, like, blow your mind a little bit? Like, just kind of like how it felt? Like, cause like, what the hell? Like, you were intrigued.
I wouldn't say blow my mind. I was,
but not... were you not intrigued to be like, sure, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And then we go to Scotland in 15, whenever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, this movie hooked me right away the first time I saw it because of like, I'm like, I really want to see how this movie ends. Like, I'm like, I need to know what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, the intro was one of those things that. You don't see a lot of, like, absolutely no context. And, like, it wasn't just a short little thing. This is probably, like, 15, 20 minutes. And no,
it was probably, like, 5-10.
It was a little while. And the thing is, there wasn't a word spoken in this amount of time.
So there's no dialogue whatsoever.
There's no dialogue. He's fighting this random guy who, whenever he's going to attack this other guy, there's creepy music, so you know he's the bad guy. But that's about the only thing you have going. You're like, okay, that guy's clearly not a good guy.
But, I mean, even the maybe it's probably cinematography for me because, like, there's a lot of stuff. Like, even, like, in the beginning when you see the guy running away in the reflection of the glasses. Like, whoever did the cinematography for this movie just nailed it.
Yeah.
And you got Queen doing the soundtrack. You wanna live.
Yeah. The soundtrack was good. Appreciate Queen.
I guess I'm all for a good swashbuckling movie, which I don't know if this qualifies, but good sword fights. That's what I want to see.
Well, and I mean, in a lot of 80s movies, you have main characters that, you know, aren't really the most thought out or great main characters. Like, even, like, I love the first Terminator movie, but the main guy, John Connor's dad, why am I drawing a blank right now?
I'm not. No, you got to figure this out, man. Okay, you're a way bigger Terminator.
I know it's midnight.
Kyle Reese, you moron. Kyle Reese.
No, it's midnight. My brain's shutting down. But Kyle Reese is like kind of like a whiny guy. He's not like real. I mean, Sarah Connor really stole the show where it, like, he was supposed to be the main guy.
No, well, Sarah Connor stole the show in the second film,
and even the first one. But anyway, my point is, like, this guy talked only basically in random, like, cheesy 80s lines. So he wouldn't talk for, like, 10 minutes at a time. They'd be like, cheesy 80s line. And then back to not talking. And there's this whole thing, like, especially if you notice, like, villains. Generally, you want your villains to, like, you can have a normal look on your face, but if you tilt your head down and your eyes go up, you start to look creepy. And he was hardcore doing the villain thing the whole movie. Head down, looking up.
You're talking about Connor McLeod.
Yeah, Connor McLeod.
No, like, watching this again, because I haven't seen it in a while, I was like, this is the creepiest stuff. And then, like, hey. But his laugh's the best.
Well,
and then, like, it's so creepy. Like, why is this woman not just running for the hills right now?
And how he seduces the woman is gives her no context, barely talks to her, and has her stab him. She pulls the knife out, realizes he isn't dead. End of story. But she's
come on. Okay, time out. That's a sweet move, though. Can you imagine? Be like, oh my god, this guy's immortal. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I forgot Connor McCrell. Do you actually know that he actually almost did not speak a lick of English, like, in real life?
Oh, really?
Yeah. They probably why they cut his dialogue down. So
probably. I mean, that makes sense, because I was like, I've never seen character.
He shoots a Nazi.
Helen Keller. You're the master race, Jack.
I'm sorry. I think watching it now, it's got to be at least 3+ years since I've seen this movie. I would watch it again. Like, this movie is absolutely insane and ridiculous, but I think that's what we expect. It's kind of like Big Trouble in Little China. Like, it's insane, but I love it.
See, the hard thing about this movie is it's a tough sell for a lot of people, because a lot of people are just not ready for this amount of, like, crazy 80s.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a crowd pleaser movie. Like, hey, I got seven, eight friends coming over.
This is 100% not like, hey, like, have you ever seen an 80s movie? No, this is perfect. Go watch it.
And, yeah.
I'm just excited to see how you're going to rate this movie. That's what I'm excited for.
I'm a little bit excited to see it, too. I'm
You don't even know yet. Cause
like, normally, you watch a movie, you think about it, we do a podcast on it, like, a week later. This is like...
This is literally immediately... This is like a reaction video that reactions. Was post-reaction.
Yeah. No, I... The sword fighting was...
The was sword about, fighting like, was Star Wars. But I like the fact that they put a lot of weight to the swords too. Like, this was Ramirez's sword. This was like everyone's sword had weight to it.
Except he didn't have a sword.
He did.
Ramirez's sword.
Yeah, well, his mentor died, okay? His Yoda died.
But he never got his own sword. He didn't make his own lightsaber, basically. Even Luke made his own lightsaber.
Yeah, at the third movie.
Okay, yeah, true. I'm not.
They took two movies before.
I'm watching two more of these.
No, do not watch any.
This movie set itself up for sequels.
Well, you got to remember, like, again, like, why would you? The fact that the Highlander is a franchise is mind-boggling by itself, because this is an R-rated film back in the 80s. Like, they bring up rape in it. I mean, this is a very. Like, it's got some hilarious moments, but also some very dark moments in it, too. And it's like, this movie would, like, the Keurig, oh, I keep calling it Keurig. What's his name?
Who?
The villain.
I don't know. The Black Knight of the Black Horse.
Not the Black Knight in the Black Horse. I'm just going to call him Keurig. the Keurig is a psychopath, and he would get canceled in today's culture. There's no way this movie gets made.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, there is a... They're like, no, you're going to treat women with disrespect? He took an old lady and threw her on the hood of the car. He stalled.
Yeah, cancel culture would not be a fan.
Yeah, and hashtag not a fan of cancel culture. But
dude, you're canceled for that.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But so how would you rate this on a scale of 1 to 10? I really want to know, Cole.
I mean... If it would have had any type of actual
give it a 1 to 10. I do not care about your backstory to this.
No, you need a backstory.
Okay.
Because this movie doesn't have one, so I need to buy one.
They did have a backstory. They literally went from... Dude, there was decapitation in modern-day New York back in the 1980s. Like, oh, decapitation. Like, when have you seen a sword fight break out in New York City?
That's true.
That's what made it so much possible. Can you imagine the cops like, what the hell is going on here?
It had no overarching story. No, like, the main character was, like, again, he didn't talk. There was no, like, real...
Because he could barely speak English at that point.
Again, no... They decided they were going to have them all fight at the end of the movie, which basically they all...
What do you mean all... There was one-on-one fight. I know. They're all one-on-one fights.
No, but it was supposed to be that there was only one.
There can only be one
high. But they were all supposed to get summoned, and weren't they supposed to have a big battle? Like, wasn't that how it was supposed to work? But they just never got to that point,
because...
The
no,
Black
because
Knight and the Black Horse killed them all?
Not the Black Knight and the Black Horse.
The Black Knight and the Black Horse.
Look up the joke, podcast listeners, if you don't get it. No, actually, so remember when they went into the church?
Yeah.
And they did, I mean, Sean Connery set it up. He said, never on sacred ground.
Yeah.
So apparently, if it's a church.
Sacred ground.
Sacred ground. And it was a Catholic church.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can tell by the stained glass windows.
And a statue of Mary, I feel like that's...
Oh, that's what gave it away. That's what gave it away for you?
Pretty exclusive.
Yeah. Damn, Lutherans don't know shit about Mary.
He said, like, oh, so everybody's going to feel a draw to a certain place at a certain time.
And in a distant land, which was New York City.
And they're going to fight until there's one.
There's only one. You remember the guy that... gave Connor McLeod the flask.
Yeah.
That was the second to last one because...
But if there would have just been those two, they would have had to fight it out, right? Like, theoretically, they would have killed the Black Knight and the Black Horse earlier.
Not the Black Knight and the Black Horse.
The guy that gave him the flask and the main guy,
Connor,
had to fight it out still. There could only be one.
But I think the idea behind it is that the Captain Keurig over here came and killed everyone else and... He was the second to last one.
Yes, but they still would have had... They would have had to fight it out if...
In New York City.
Yeah.
In modern day. With swords. And you're arguing about the
plot. I was a little disappointed because I wanted to see, like, seven guys to fight to the death. There can only be one.
Man.
Here's seven. It'd be like the ultimate showdown. This is the ultimate showdown.
Yeah, see, now... I've never thought about it that way. Now you make me mad because I wish I would have saw that.
Because I was really waiting. Like, it was like, okay, I guess Sean Connery got killed beforehand. I thought it was going to be one of those things that, like, they get to the final battle and then he and Sean Connery left. Like, they knock out the other five guys and they're like, hey, you, me, bro, master and apprentice.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of the point is that the villain of this movie is that dastardly. Like, everyone's like, hey, he can't win the ultimate prize. Which, spoiler alert, ultimate prize is mortality, and now you can have kids.
Yeah, kind of interesting plot twist there. Like, oh, you're immortal. That's what makes you so special. You want to win the prize? Now you die.
Yeah, because if I knew what the prize would have been, and I'm immortal, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. Like, can we all agree, well, guys? Like, let's not kill each other.
Especially the Black Knight of the Black Horse.
Not the Black Knight and the Black Horse.
The Black Knight of the Black Horse. You think he wants mortality? If he wins, you think he wants to be mortal? That's what made him a cool villain was he didn't care about anything.
But I think it goes back to, because this went back like even thousands of years before Christ, because that's where Ramirez comes in. I think he's like, there's the ultimate prize, but they didn't know what the prize was. I don't think anyone knew.
They had to fight it out to the death. So,
They knew how to kill
someone. I don't understand why he even trained him.
I mean, we can go about this all night, but but how do you rate it? You're not telling me how you... Do you rate the damn thing?
My point was, since there's no overarching story...
There can only be one Highlander.
I can't rate it as high as maybe I would. Okay, it's enjoyable. It's 80s cheese. Anything that you want in an 80s movie.
Would you recommend this somehow to people?
Certain people.
If you that, like, that's 80, even better. I love movies like, all right, that person can't watch it, yeah, but I definitely want you to
only
watch it.
Only an 80s person. Like, if you like 80s movies, you'll like this movie. If you're like, I don't really care for 80s movies, they're kind of old, you're going to hate this movie.
Yeah,
there's nothing about this movie that you're going to find redeeming.
You will literally punch your TV in the face.
So, I'm going to give it...
Come on. Go with your heart. It can only be one.
I'm going to give it a 7 1/4.
Couldn't go 7.5.
No, I couldn't. If there would have been more of a story, I could have gone higher.
I'm giving it a 9 because I just love this movie so much. I can watch it any time of the day. It's one of the movies, like, it's a Sunday afternoon. You just get back from church or something weird, and it's like, what do you want to watch? Highlander.
There can only be one.
There can only be one. You know you're going to say that now. You know you're going to say that all the time.
Yeah. Whenever I'm just about to kill you because there can only be one.
He did not kill me. It'd be really funny if you kept talking the whole time. Like, wait, did he kill him?
The podcast is done.
Okay. And now it's just Bruising Reviews with Cole because Jake has been straight up murdered.
That's like after Infinity Wars came out and there was the click and then disappeared. There's a bunch of videos.
It was a snap. Like, why do you call it a click?
Okay, snap. Whatever. It's midnight, damn it.
Who calls it a click, though?
Snap. Snap your fingers. There's a bunch of videos.
You're probably part of a click in high school.
The video just, like, somebody snaps their fingers, and then they just, like, fade away, and the video ends. It's like, oh, this got awkward.
Yeah. But there's also, before we end this podcast, there's a couple things I wish would have happened in this movie now that I watch it again.
The ultimate showdown. Okay.
Check. Okay, yeah, we check. I have no idea why, but I, for some reason, wish they had force powers because there's a couple scenes of, like, this, like, I expect them to raise their hands and just, like, lift people up. Because, like, there were moments, like, it's just focused on one face, like,
Oh, I really thought that when he was looking at the policeman, there was that weird thing. I thought he was doing, like, Jedi mind trick or something. Like, I really thought he was, like, going to get that guy to, like, do something weird.
Yeah, no, like, there's moments in this movie I'm like, I think there's going to be other powers coming out. I'm like, oh, well, no, there's not. Okay.
Nope. It's just immortality, and then you scream and really loud when you kill someone. And the windows break.
It's a quickening, okay? You clearly didn't get it the first time, but you will definitely watch it again. But, yeah, I give this it's a 9, and probably 2 points of that is nostalgic, but I can watch the movie over and over again. Is that entertaining for me?
It's entertaining. It's so, like... Like the random Nazi scene, dude. And even his assistant, like
when before he shoots the dude. Which, by the way, that's the first time I ever saw that scene. That never happened in the theatrical cut because I was alive in 1985. But I love when he pulls out a gun. He's like, you're the master race, Jack. And then shoots a Nazi.
Which, even that, not to be nitpicky, but like.
If you're going to nitpick that scene, I swear to God, call
him. The assistant, like, he saves the little girl and then she becomes his assistant. She served no purpose in the movie. The movie would not be lacking at all without her. We could have had the Nazi scene without the little girl.
Well, it makes way more sense now that he had that assistant. Like, oh, that's where Rachel came from. Because I never saw that scene before.
So the Nazi scene wasn't in it. So he just had this random assistant.
Yeah.
For no reason, really.
Now I know. I know. For some reason, he's talking English to a German, like, you're the master race, Jack. And then just riddles him.
I think, yeah, 7 1/4. I can't budge
no,
either
nine,
way.
No. Actually, no, 9 1/2. If you love any 80s movies at all, go watch this movie.
Okay.
All right, Bruising Reviews signing off.